Hello, everyone, and welcome back to An Old Guy Who Knows Shit. Slewdog here with another story from life. This is episode 13, Watchers. Copyright 2020 by L.R. Holtz. Well, I have to tell you my UFO story. Actually, there are several, but it all adds up to one story. I was never particularly interested in the sky as a child. My entire childhood, the only time I remember my parents pointing out something to me in the sky, aside from, of course, this or that beautiful sunset or a particularly full moon, which my mother, God bless her, did appreciate in that aesthetic way. A person of beauty appreciates the wonders of nature. So the first time that my folks said, look at the sky, to me was when I was in the first grade in Lincoln, Nebraska. My dad woke us up and made us all go out in the parking lot to see the northern lights, which are rarely visible that far south. I remember being somewhat impressed, but not all that impressed. I think I was too sleepy to really even see what was happening. They looked like clouds. Big deal. Clouds move too. And yeah, they have colors. Yeah, so what? So can I go back to bed now? But by the time I was in college, I had opened my eyes up to see what was around me. My radar was up all the time for anything out of the ordinary. Well, the sky particularly grabbed my attention the summer after my freshman year in college. I rode a motorcycle double with my best friend from St. Charles, Missouri to Boise, Idaho. It took us 6 days, and we had no money for motels, so we camped. And as you can probably imagine, we were kids. We had never taken a motorcycle trip before. We had been Boy Scouts, but we didn't have our own camping gear. We, in fact, didn't have a clue. We had no tents. We had a sleeping bag and two sheets of plastic. And the clear nights, of which it seems to me I think there were three, we just lay on our backs and looked up at the sky and talked until we went to sleep. And lying there just watching the sky for hours, we learned a lot. First of all, if you watch the sky long enough, you will see something interesting. There's really a lot going on up there, and not just airplanes and stars. In the still category, there are planets, star clusters, galaxies, and fascinating worlds in the rings of the Milky Way. In the moving category, there are jets and airplanes, shooting stars, a gazillion satellites, and there are things that move in a way that is not predictable, making them unidentifiable. Now, just how many of this latter category we saw those three nights, I don't think I could possibly estimate. It was a lot. It was several each night. Maybe they were just active that week. Maybe there was a galactic party on our moon. Who knows? So the first night, we're talking. We're watching. Hey, look, there's a shooting star. Did you see that? Yeah. Oh, look, there's a satellite. Where? There. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's another satellite. Yeah, I see it. Did that satellite just make a right-hand turn? Did you see that? I thought I was imagining it. Shit, it just turned again. Did you see that? Yeah. So that was basically it. They were all the same, those nights on the road. They looked just like satellites, but they didn't go in a straight line. Some made 90-degree turns. Some zigzagged. They never circled or spiraled or even made a turn of any kind. They would be going this way, and then they'd be going that way. And it is interesting to note that since that night, I have seen many more of these, but never like we saw on that trip. I have seen probably as many since as we saw those three nights. But they have evolved somewhat. We have family in rural South Carolina, and I've seen them there a few times. Never on the coast, always inland. And we have spent entire weeks at the beach where I took my binoculars and sat on the beach and watched the stars for hours. Over the water is the only place I have watched the sky for hours and never seen an unidentifiable flying object. But inland, not too many years ago, we were there on a particularly clear night, and I went out to the yard to scan the sky with my binoculars. I like to use binoculars because they increase the number of stars you can see at least tenfold, and things like nebula and star clusters are magnificent through binoculars. And if you've never looked at Orion's sword through binoculars, try it the next clear winter night. It is the Great Nebula in Orion, and it is spectacular. But they also, binoculars, do not narrow your scope of vision nearly like a telescope does. You can only look at one thing at a time with a telescope, but binoculars let you scan the sky. So on this particular night, I'm out in the yard, leaning against a tree, scanning the sky. And I pick up something that I at first think is a faint distant satellite. But as I look at it more closely, I see that it is not a point of light at all, but a corona of light, as if there is a bright light behind a disk. And I can't see it with my naked eye at all, but I track it with my binoculars. And it doesn't waver, it doesn't turn, it just steadily tracks a straight line right up the sky. And when it gets to a point near the zenith, it passes into one of those dense clusters of the Milky Way, and I lose it in the cloud of stars for a moment, and then I see it move into a spot that's not quite as dense, and then it stopped. Just stopped dead and sat there a moment. And then I realized it was getting smaller. It got smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappeared. So then I resume scanning the sky, and as I'm passing through one of the more open spots, kind of like halfway down the horizon, I come upon two of these exact same things, coronas of light, not visible to the naked eye, and they're separating from a single point, going in opposite directions. Well, I had to choose one to follow, so of course I picked the one that was going up towards the zenith. Well, it slides up and up and up and up and up, and darn if it doesn't go into the exact same dense cluster of the Milky Way the first one went into, and then it stopped in exactly the same place that the other one did, and yes, it then got smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappeared. But those are just teasers. I am among the fortunate, at least I consider it fortunate. There are those who would disagree with me. I am among the fortunate ones who have had a real bona fide UFO encounter. No, none of us had a camera, so there is no record of this, but there were 8 witnesses, at least to its beginning. It went on for hours, all night, in fact, and all of us couldn't stay awake for it, but I did. My cousin and I did for the entire experience. It was my cousin's birthday, July 1974. I was working in Galesburg, Illinois, second shift in a factory, and I couldn't leave until midnight. So my girlfriend and I left sometime around 12:30, and it was a 2-hour drive, and so we're arriving at roughly 2 a.m. I spent that summer with a college sweetheart, house-sitting, playing like grown-ups in this nice suburban middle-class 3-bedroom home. She was very practically minded, organized. We were madly in love at the time and just having a ball. Oddly enough, we got pulled over on our way. Funny thing, I have been pulled over by Iowa cops 10 times as often as I have been pulled over by Missouri cops, and I live in Missouri. He checked my thermos, decided I was sober, gave me a warning, I was doing 6 over, and let us go. After what seemed like hours of winding through narrow 2-lane roads, it was an overcast night and dark as pitch, we finally found the gravel road that led to their new place, a house rental on a farm way out in the middle of nowhere. Well, as we pulled into the driveway, the whole party is standing in it, looking up at the sky. My cousin and his wife, and then 2 good friends of his and their wives, and they're all in the driveway, and they're excited as hell. They're all talking at once, and they swarm around the car. Oh, man, you're not going to believe this. What's happening? There's this light in the sky, and it's coming, and it's going, and it's coming back. And all of this is spoken all at once, and so finally I just yelled, "One at a time, please." And my cousin then tells me that his friend's brother, whom we did not know, and so then we have the introductions all around, and so he and his girlfriend had gone out into the woods to fool around, and she got all paranoid that somebody was watching them, and then she saw this light right over them, and as soon as she said, "What's that?" it skittered up into the clouds, and then they ran back to the house, and they told everybody about it, and nobody believed them, and so then everybody came out, and there it was over that meadow over there, and as soon as we said, "Look, there it is," it skittered up into the clouds. And along about this time, I look up. And to my great surprise, there was a bright light directly over us. I'd say 10 times as big as Venus on a good night. But if you recall, it was overcast and pitch dark, so there was no missing it. I didn't say anything because I wanted to be sure. So I listened a minute longer as they continued about how they went back into the house and waited about 10 minutes and then went out again. And then there it was fucking was over this time over there. And no, wreck it, that time it was over there. And yeah, no, it was over there in the field that time. And then I look up again and the light is still there. And about this time, my cousin's wife says, "Hey, have you guys been smoking or drinking?" And my cousin says, "Are you guys straight? Straight, you must be. You just drove. No pot, no drinking, no beers for these guys until they see it. And we know we're not hallucinating." And I looked up a third time, and it's still there. And three being the charm, I looked back at my cousin, and I said, well, that wouldn't be your UFO, would it? And there was the first moment of silence as everybody looked up, and then everybody says at once, that's it. And it proceeded to skitter up into the clouds. They had called it skittering, and it was a good word for it, because it kind of vibrated as it accelerated up into the cloud. Well, once again, everybody's talking at once, and the gist of which was that we were all going to go back into the house and come back out in 10 minutes, and it would be somewhere else, and as soon as we recognized it, it would do what it just did, and we were not to have any beer or pot until we'd seen it at least three times. Well, we were indeed straight. I don't mix intoxicants and driving. We all saw it that time. We all saw it three more times before my girlfriend and I joined the party with beers and a doobie. So I can say that we saw it four times straight as arrows, and each of those four times, it reacted to being seen by hiding in the clouds. By the time we had seen it three more times, it was like 4 a.m, and the girls were fading, and in spite of the excitement, the party dwindled to my cousin and I and his friend Bill. And for that last hour or two before dawn, it got a little bizarre, perhaps, because each viewing, we would have 10 minutes to think of a new way to try to interact with it. We experimented with what would make it move. We determined that we could talk about it as long as we didn't look at it. It seemed to take its signal from our body language. So then we got more elaborate. We pretended to ignore it while we made big signs inviting them to come down. But then, as soon as we showed it to the signs, it hid in the clouds. We made a big bonfire. No matter what we did, as soon as we physically acknowledged it in any way, it skittered up into the clouds. Finally, in the very last moments of darkness, Bill gave out, and my cousin and I just sat as the fire burned down and the day dawned. We surreptitiously watched it and talked about it. We decided that it must be some kind of drone, that we had had actual primitive communication with it, but its response was too robotic, too predictable to have actual sentient beings actually on board. Well, then as dawn approached, the clouds broke up. And as the sky started to glow in the east, it was pretty clear. And the object was pretty close to us. But even as the sky lightened, it still just looked like a ball of light. And then the sun's rays hit it. And just like that, we could see it very clearly. Oh, for a camera when you need one. But those days, unlike today, pictures were expensive and nobody had a camera. The best I can do is my own very primitive drawing of what it looked like. And here I'll have to ask my listeners to go to anoldguywhoknowsshit.com and click the UFO link. No, it was not drawn by a toddler, so just keep your drawing insults to yourself. Somewhere between my brain and my pencil, there's a missing link, okay? Point is, you get the idea. This picture is shorter and stubbier, so you can see how it was shaped more clearly, but it was a hollowed-out cigar shape, open at one end with a solid, longer center, a bright white light at its base, and small little red and green lights opposite each other on the central, what looked like, antenna. It rotated constantly, but irregularly. It would rotate end over end and then stop. Then just spin, and then stop, and then make a figure eight, and then stop, and then rotate on an axis 90 degrees opposite the spin, stop. And now, we were pretty much spellbound watching this. Waiting up all night had, in fact, paid off big time. Then, before the sun broke the horizon for us, it shone on another identical object some distance away. We could only see a small silhouette, but it was clearly the same cigar shape, solid at one end, open at the other, and it rotated irregularly in exactly the same way. We watched it for a minute, and then when we looked back for the first one, it was gone. We looked back for the second, and it was gone. So this was a couple of years after the glass shard dream incident, but it was still pretty fresh. I had just begun working with the first of the Enlightened Movement teachers. Things were starting to come together for me in terms of a cosmos taking shape. But up until this time, all of my experiences I would call earthbound. And while the aberrant satellites were clearly unidentifiable, they weren't 50 feet away and interacting with us. And yes, primitive as it was interaction. If we did not let it see that we saw it, it did not move. And as soon as we acknowledged it in any way, it hid in the clouds. We totally interacted with it, but granted, on a very, very primitive level. But, like the levitation thing, does that really matter that our interaction was primitive? It was clearly a solid, metallic thing created by some very high-level technology. It was clearly propelled by technology that we do not possess. It was programmed to hide if its presence was acknowledged. It was a real thing. Not wanting to deduce too much from this, I have ever after referred to it and other unidentified flying objects as my watchers. That much, I believe, can be deduced. It was watching. Why us? Why then? Why at all? Why indeed? Well, unanswerable as that question is, what is undeniable is that whatever it was, it absolutely existed in utter defiance of every law of physics I ever heard of. So, it was kind of like the secret knowledge that would come later of a disciplined army of rats under the streets of New York. Only this secret knowledge was that somebody is definitely watching. Somebody is watching. This is an old guy who knows shit. Signing off till next time.